ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम टू भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन कोर्स ऑन द 10th कैंट ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। सो फार वी कवर्ड द फर्स्ट 45 चैप्टर्स ऑफ द 10th कैंटू। टुडे वी विल बिगिन द 46th चैप्टर। एंड इन द प्रीवियस एपिसोड वी हैव सीन हाउ कृष्णा किल्ड कंसा एंड ऑल्सो कुवलया पीडा एंड हिज रिजलर्स। एंड लेटर कृष्णा रिलीज्ड हिज पेरेंट्स वसुदेव एंड देवकी फ्रॉम द इम्प्रिजनमेंट ऑफ कंसा। एंड कृष्णा लेटर enthroned Ugrasena as the king of Mathura. And later, Krishna gave farewell to Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men who came from Vrindavan to Mathura. It was really a painful and heart-touching scene when Nanda Maharaj had to leave Krishna and Balaram back in Mathura and he returned alone to Vrindavan. So Krishna had to stay back in Mathura to reduce the burden of the earth and to fulfill other responsibilities, and especially to satisfy his parents Vasudev and Devaki in Mathura, who were in separation from Krishna for more than a decade since the time of his birth. So Nanda Maharaj, with an intense feelings of separation from Krishna, so, and other gopas also have similar feelings of separation from Krishna, so all of them with heavy hearts returned back to Vrindavan. And Krishna and Balaram stayed back in Mathura, and Vasudev organized their sacred thread ceremony. And later Vasudev had sent Krishna and Balaram to Sandipani Muni's ashram for education. So Krishna and Balaram studied the Vedas and Upanishads and also 64 fine arts in 64 days. And Sandipani Muni was so pleased with his students Krishna and Balaram. So the Supreme Lord is accepting the role of a disciple, a student under Guru Sandipani Muni, and teaching all the human beings that one has to accept a guru for receiving spiritual knowledge. So one has to submit to a teacher to receive knowledge and wisdom. So as Guru Dakshina, or as an offering of gratitude to their teacher, Krishna and Balaram went to the abode of Yamaraj and retrieved the dead son of Sandipani Muni and gave that boy to Sandipani Muni. And Sandipani Muni was so happy with Krishna and Balaram. He blessed them wholeheartedly. And later Krishna and Balaram came back to the palace. And one day, Krishna called his cousin Uddhava. Uddhava was the cousin of Krishna and he was a disciple of Brihaspati. And Uddhava resembled Krishna in all respects. His bodily complexion was similar to Krishna. And whoever sees Uddhava just remembers Krishna, because Uddhava not only looks like Krishna, Uddhava also even wears the garments and ornaments of Krishna. So Uddhava is very close associate of Krishna in Mathura and later in Dwaraka also. So Uddhava is the dearest friend of Krishna. He is very well educated. Uddhava is like a mantri, a minister for Krishna. And Krishna calls Uddhava for his advice oftentimes. And now Krishna called Uddhava and requested him, "My dear Uddhava, can you please go to Vrindavan and give my message to my parents Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata? And also you have to give a letter to my dear gopis of Vrindavan." So Uddhava is a very confidential associate of Krishna, and Krishna trusts Uddhava. So he is sending his message that contains his heartfelt feelings and emotions to Vrindavan with Uddhava. So Uddhava received this instruction from Krishna, and Krishna told, "My dear Uddhava, all the gopis love me more than their own lives. They have dedicated everything to me. I am feeling separation from them, and I am sure they must be totally devastated that I did not go back to Vrindavan after coming to Mathura. So please go and console them, pacify them." Krishna said, Krishna told Uddhava in the fourth shloka, "Tamanmanaska matprana मदर्थे त्यक्त दैहिकाः माम् एव दयितं प्रेष्ठम् आत्मानं मनसा गताः ये त्यक्त लोकधर्माश्च मदर्थे तान् विभर्म्यहम् सो कृष्ण सेड ता मनस्का मत प्राण दे हैव डेडिकेटेड देयर लाइव्स एंड देयर माइंड्स टू मी माय डियर उद्धव सो माम एव दयितं प्रेष्ठम् आत्मानं मनसा गतिः देयर माइंड्स कॉन्स्टेंटली थिंक अबाउट मी ओनली सो दीज गोपीस ऑफ वृंदावन आर सो क्लोज टू माय हार्ट ये त्यक्त लोक धर्माश्च दे हैव इवन गिवन अप द सोशल कस्टम्स एंड द रेगुलर वैदिक confinements in which a woman has to live. So they have surpassed all of them. And we have seen in the Gopi Gita that Pati sutanvayat bhratru bandhavat ati vilanghyate achyutagatah gati virastavo udgita mohitah kitava yoshutah kastyajen nishi. All the Gopis are telling Krishna that Pati sutanvayat, we have given up our Pati, husbands, Suta, sons, then relatives and elders and other brothers and many other social obligations, and in the middle of the night, being attracted by your enchanting flute song, we have left our homes and we have come to the forest in the middle of the night. And Krishna, you are asking us to go back. Is it appropriate for you? You are a cheater. So the gopis left everything for Krishna, and Krishna holds the gopis as his dearmost devotees. And now Krishna is in separation from the gopis, and the gopis are always in separation from Krishna. Now Krishna is sending Uddhava to Vrindavan to console those gopis and also console his parents Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, who are also in feelings of separation from Krishna. So Uddhava went to Vrindavan, and this Vrindavan was filled with all opulences of all seasons. So when Krishna, when Uddhava reached Vrindavan, it was the evening time. Just as Akrura also reached Vrindavan in the evening time, Uddhava also reached Vrindavan in the evening time. So in the dusk time, all the cows and calves and the cowherd men, the gopas, were coming back from the forest to the village. And the ambience of Vrindavan village is filled with such beauty that dust started rising from the hoofs of calves and bulls and calves who were coming back from pasturing grounds to the village. And also the birds, the cooing birds who were returning to their nests, they were making such beautiful, charming, chirping sounds. And the bees were all over the place. And the fragrant flowers from the gardens and the forests of Vrindavan were emanating such a sweet aroma, and in such an ambience, Uddhava entered Vrindavan in the evening time, and all the cowherd homes in Gokul appeared so charming, because every Vrajavasi in Vrindavan constantly remembers Krishna, so they are singing songs about Krishna while doing their evening duties. So Uddhava came to Nanda Maharaj's house. So Nanda Maharaj received Uddhava very lovingly. He embraced Uddhava and then invited Uddhava into his house. So Uddhava sat with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata, and Nanda Maharaj started, after feeding Uddhava and after making him comfortable, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata sat with Uddhava, and Nanda Maharaj started asking questions to Uddhava. My dear Uddhava, how is Vasudeva? How is Devaki? And I'm sure they must be very happy, because that cruel Kamsa has been killed by Krishna, and Vasudeva must be very happy now. And also Krishna and Balaram went to Mathura, and they must be giving a lot of happiness to Vasudeva and Devaki and all the Mathura Vasis. So it's very good that Kamsa got killed along with all his cruel brothers. So then later Nanda Maharaj started asking about Krishna. How is Krishna? How is Balaram? Does Krishna remember us? We are his well-wishers. So does Krishna remember his Vrindavan village? Does Krishna remember the cowherds, his cows, the gopas and the gopis? Does he ever remember them? Does he ever consider to come back to Vrindavan and see all of us? So does Govinda show his beautiful face with decorated with attractive eyes and pleasant smile and nose and ears and curly hairs. So does he ever show his beautiful face to the Vrajavasis? So actually Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata were in deep feelings of separation from Krishna, because in the last more than a decade, Vasudev and Devaki were in deep suffering. They were tormented by Kamsa and they were in separation from their sons Krishna and Balaram, who were staying in Vrindavan. And now Vasudev and Devaki received the good fortune of the association of Krishna and Balaram at Mathura, but Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata were deprived of that good fortune. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata were so fortunate to see all the childhood pastimes of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. And after the childhood passed, Krishna just went back to Mathura. And so far, in Nanda Maharaj's house, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mata, Rohini Mata, Krishna and Balaram used to live. But now Krishna and Balaram went back, and only Yashoda and Nanda were sitting in the house, and they were constantly remembering Krishna. So they were so speechless. So Nanda Maharaj is asking so many questions. Nanda Maharaj recollected all the enchanting pastimes of Krishna that he had performed in Gokul. So Nanda Maharaj told Uddhava that Krishna has saved us from forest fire, and he saved us from wind and rain sent by Indra, and he also killed so many demons, the calf demon Vatsasur, the bull demon Arishtasur, he killed Putana and many other demons, and he protected all the Vrajavasis from so many calamities during his stay here, and he also subdued Kalia, that great serpent. So does Krishna remember this Vrindavan? We are all remembering his wonderful deeds that he had done in Vrindavan, and we can never forget his charming smiles and glances and his words, and we forget all our external engagements by remembering Krishna. But does Krishna remember us anytime? So whenever we see the places where this Lord Mukunda performed his pastimes, we go into ecstatic remembrance of Krishna. But does Krishna remember us? So I think Krishna and Balaram must be two exalted devatas, because Gargamuni came to my house and then he predicted that Krishna would be exhibiting the qualities of Narayana. Maybe Krishna and Balaram must be two powerful devatas. So they have entered our house and they lived for a brief period of time, and they left us in the pain of separation, and then they went back to Mathura. So as Nanda Maharaj is remembering Krishna, his qualities and his activities, Mother Yashoda just sat there hearing all the descriptions of Krishna made by Nanda Maharaj, and she was so speechless. Out of her intense motherly affection towards Krishna, milk was flowing from her body, but Mother Yashoda was unable to speak a single word, and she was so speechless. She was only tears were coming from her eyes. And then Uddhava saw this deep, intense love and affection displayed by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and he was so astonished. First time he is witnessing such intense, deep love and affection and emotions towards Krishna. And Uddhava just could not control himself, and he appreciated Nanda and Yashoda. My dear Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata, you are the most fortunate personalities in this entire creation, because you have developed such intense love and emotions towards Krishna. Krishna is not just your son. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the creator, maintainer and destroyer of this entire universe. Even an impure person who absorbs his mind in the remembrance of Krishna at the time of death will reach the spiritual world. Krishna is the supreme Godhead, and he descended to reduce the burden of this earth, and you rendered such loving service with such deep, intense emotions towards Krishna. And when Krishna performed his human-like pastimes on this planet, you got the great fortune to witness all the childish pastimes of Krishna. So you are extremely fortunate. No one can compare themselves with you in such good fortune. My dear Nanda Maharaj, believe me, Krishna will definitely come back to Vrindavan and show his beautiful face to all of you. He has promised you and he will definitely fulfill that promise to you. So please trust me. So Krishna is going to come back here. That's the message that Krishna had sent with me. So he told me to pacify you and console you and solace you and comfort you by giving you the message that Krishna will come back very soon. But he has certain responsibilities in Mathura to fulfill. So after that, he will definitely come back and give you his association. Don't worry. Please do not lament. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is Parabrahman. He is Paramatma. And as the Supreme Lord, he is neutral to everyone. So Uddhava speaks a shloka about the neutrality of Krishna. Uddhava says, Na hiyasyasti priyaha kaschin na priyo vastyatmanah nauttamo no dhamo vapi samanasya samopiva. So Uddhava says, Nahi asyasti priyaha kaschin. Krishna, as the Supreme Lord, does not hold anyone especially dear to him, or he does not hate anyone. So, na uttamo na adhamo vapi. So, Krishna does not consider someone as low, someone as superior, because everybody is a part and parcel of Krishna and everybody is a child of God. But, so Krishna is neutral towards everyone. So, he has no mother or father or children or relatives. No one is related to him, yet no one is a stranger to him. Everyone knows him and he knows everyone. So, he has no material body, no birth. So, Uddhava is trying to speak the philosophy and the greatness of the Absolute Truth Krishna, but that Krishna is so absorbed and identifies himself with his relationships with the Vrajavasis. So, this kind of philosophy may not actually console Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So, they never see Krishna as the Supreme God. Although Krishna exhibits such superhuman pastimes, but still Uddhava is trying to explain about Krishna's greatness to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And he also describes Krishna as Paramatma, who stays within the hearts of every single living being. And later, the night passed and Uddhava went to sleep, and early in the morning Uddhava got up. And early in the morning, all the gopis of Vrindavan also got up from their sleep and they started doing their morning duties, and they suddenly noticed a big chariot in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard. The gopis came close to this chariot. Whose chariot is this? So, this chariot is not Vrindavan's chariot. This chariot must be coming from Mathura. So, earlier one chariot came. Akrura got that chariot. So, this Akrura came in a big, magnificent chariot to take Krishna and Balaram away from Vrindavan to Mathura. Did that Akrura come back again? So, Akrura wanted to please his master Kamsa by taking Krishna to Mathura. And now that Kamsa left his body, Kamsa died in the hands of Krishna. That news came to Vrindavan, of course. So, did Akrura come back again to take our dead bodies to please his departed master Kamsa? So, to this degree, the gopis were displeased with Akrura. So, they considered Akrura as krura, means cruel person. So, the gopis felt that Akrura must have come back and to take the dead bodies of the gopis and Vrajavasis to satisfy his master Kamsa. So, when they were thinking like this, they suddenly saw Uddhava. And all the gopis came towards Uddhava. Who is this person? He looks exactly like Krishna. Definitely, he is not Krishna, because gopis can recognize who is Krishna and who is not Krishna. But Uddhava looks exactly like Krishna, and all the gopis were astonished. Who is this person? He is wearing the garments of Krishna. He is wearing the ornaments of Krishna. His complexion and his whole personality resembles Krishna and reminds Krishna. So, let us go and talk to him. Maybe he is Krishna's servant. Maybe he is Krishna's messenger who has come to Vrindavan to meet all of us. And all the gopis went to Uddhava. And that completes the 46th chapter. We are entering the 47th chapter. All the gopis went to Uddhava and asked, "Who are you, O handsome man? Whom do you serve? Whose servant are you? You are wearing Krishna's clothes and ornaments. Do you know Krishna? Are you servant of Krishna? Please tell us. Then Uddhava saw these gopis and Uddhava remembered what Krishna told about the gopis. So all the gopis took Krishna to a secluded place, in a very secret place, and then started inquiring from Uddhava about Krishna. Uddhava, who are you? Where did you come from? Did Krishna send you? Is there any message for us? Like that, gopis just really honored Uddhava because he is looking exactly like Krishna. And Uddhava also maintained a very respectful distance from the gopis because Uddhava understands these gopis are the gopis of Krishna. They are the servants of Krishna. So they are worshipable to me. So I must be very respectful towards them. So Uddhava is very respectfully speaking to the gopis. And gopis became so enthusiastic and very excited to see Krishna's messenger there. So gopis talked to Uddhava. So we know you must be the personal servant of Krishna. You must have come here on the order of Krishna. So why can't Krishna come directly? Why he has to send a messenger like you? So maybe Krishna had sent you to console his parents, just to be politically correct. Otherwise the world will perceive that Krishna is neglecting his parents who raised him for more than a decade. So maybe Krishna wants to show to this world that he still remembers his parents. That's why he had sent you to meet Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata. But does Krishna remember us? Does Krishna remember cows and bulls? Does Krishna remember the gopis of Vrindavan? Does Krishna remember all the activities and enchanting pastimes that he has done in this land of Vrindavan? So does he remember we unfortunate gopis whom he left us? So the friendship shown to people other than family members is only motivated personal interest. We are not family members of Krishna. Actually, Krishna had sent you to console his family members, Nanda and Yashoda. But we are like other people in this village. So Krishna maintained relationship with us and he just gave us up. So like that, the gopis were showing a lot of eagerness to know about Krishna. And they were also expressing their disapproval of Krishna's activities of leaving them, leaving Vrindavan. And they were a little angry with Krishna also. So the gopis said, Nishvam tyajanti ganika akalpam nripatim prajaha adhita vidya acharyam ritvijam datta dakshinam. So the gopis said that Nishvam tyajanti ganikaha. Ganika means a prostitute. Nishvam means a person who does not have money. So prostitutes will associate with a man only to get money from them. There is not much love there. So when a person does not have money, when a man does not have money, prostitutes just abandon that person. Nishvam tyajanti ganikaha. Then akalpam nirpatim prajaha. So praja means citizens. They abandon a king who cannot protect them. Next, adhita vidya acharyam. Once the education is over, the students abandon a teacher. Then ritvijo datta dakshinam. The priests abandon a person once they receive dakshina. So just as all these categories of people are abandoning others, Krishna has left all of us, the gopis. So the gopis were thinking in this way. And they also said, khagavita phalam vriksham bhuktva chatithyato griham dagdham mrgastatharanyam jara bhuktva ratam striyam. So khaga vita phalam vriksham. So birds leave a tree that does not have fruits. So birds come to a tree only if there are fruits. So just as birds leave a tree without fruits, Krishna has left the gopis. The gopis are saying like this. Bhuktva chatithyato graham. So once the guests have taken the meals in a host's house, they give up that house. And dagdham mrgastatharanyam. The animals who have been living in a beautiful forest, they leave the forest and the forest is attacked by a forest fire. So in this way, different categories of people abandon things after using them. Similarly, the gopis are accusing Krishna that Krishna left us after associating with us for a while. So we are innocent, unsophisticated village women. Krishna must have made relationships with a very sophisticated and more beautiful woman in the city. And he left us. He went to the city and he left the village people. So when all the gopis were speaking like this, in deep feelings of separation from Krishna with Uddhava, one particular gopi, she went into deep absorption in Krishna's pastimes, and she started. She saw one bumblebee, which is also called Bhramara in Sanskrit. So she saw one bumblebee and thought that this bumblebee must be Krishna, and started speaking to that bumblebee, started singing in front of that bumblebee, and that is called Bhramara Gita, and that special gopi is Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani saw this bumblebee and considered the bumblebee to be a messenger of Krishna, and sometimes she considered the bumblebee to be Krishna also, and then she started chastising that bee in various ways. So she spoke 10 shlokas, and these 10 shlokas actually describe very deep emotions and feelings of a lover towards the beloved. And when the lover is disappointed with the beloved because the person went away from the lover, so then this kind of expressions may come, and these are very esoteric subject matters, so I don't have the capacity or realization to speak anything about it, so I won't be speaking this Bhramara Gita. So in this Bhramara Gita, basically this is a very emotional and ecstatic speech chastising the lover. So there are 10 kinds of speech there: the Prajalpa, then Parijalpa, Vijalpa, Ujjalpa, Sanjalpa, Avajalpa, then Abhijalpa. These are various types of conversation that a lover can have with one's beloved, accusing the lover for not giving association. So after Radharani spoke like this, Uddhava was so astonished with the devotion of all these gopis of Vrindavan towards Krishna. So Uddhava glorified the devotion of the gopis. Uddhava said, "You gopis are so successful in your bhakti, and you have dedicated your minds completely to the Lord. I have never seen anyone who were so immersed and absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna like this." So devotional service unto Lord Krishna is attained by charity, strict vows, austerities and fire sacrifices, etc. But it is actually not so. Devotional service unto the Supreme Lord Krishna can be attained only by following the footsteps of great devotees like you. So they said, "You have established the most excellent and the topmost standard of pure devotion. So you have internalized, assimilated and realized all the emotions and loving feelings towards Krishna. No one can love Krishna as much as you do, my dear gopis of Vrindavan." So Uddhava became so impressed, and he was so much appreciative of the devotion of the gopis. So then Uddhava said, "You have a rightful claim of unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. By showing devotion in suppression, you have attained, you have shown great mercy towards me." So whenever a devotee sees another sincere devotee or a perfect devotee, this devotee, practicing devotee, will get an example. Oh, this is how devotion should be. This is how one should serve Krishna, one should worship Krishna, one should love Krishna. So when we see a perfect example of a devotee exhibiting Vaishnava qualities and love for Krishna, so then we should feel joyful that we can learn from them, we can follow their footsteps. So Uddhava, although he is a very exalted devotee of Krishna, he found that the gopis are more exalted than him. Uddhava, being very humble and very honest devotee of Krishna, he could understand the most exalted, topmost position of the gopis of Vrindavan, and he had great respect towards the gopis. So then Uddhava told the gopis, "My dear gopis, Krishna had sent a special letter for you. So I will read out that letter for you." Then Uddhava started reading that letter, and the gopis became so excited and so eager to know what Krishna had sent for them. So in that letter, Krishna said, "My dear gopis, you are never separated from me." So just like material elements are present in everyone's mind and senses, similarly, I am always present within you. You are never separated from me. So this unique and confidential letter sent by Krishna through Uddhava to the gopis externally speaks some jnana or knowledge or philosophy, but internally it has a very deeper meaning that consoles the gopis. So when Krishna met all the gopis during the Rasalila, before the Rasalila, then Krishna gave certain instructions on karma and told the gopis to go back. Now, in this letter, Krishna is speaking something on Jnana, trying to console the gopis. But in that karma instructions or in this Jnana instructions, behind the hidden meanings are of pure bhakti and pure prema, love. So, there are external meanings for these words of Krishna in this letter, and there are also internal meanings. So, acharyas give both the meanings of this Krishna's special letter to the gopis. So, externally it seems that Krishna is speaking some philosophy to the gopis and consoling them. Krishna says, I create, I maintain and I destroy everything by my personal energy. So, although everything is destroyed, still everything still continues to exist because the energy manifests and unmanifests, but it is continuously existing with alternate manifestation and unmanifestation. So, like that, Krishna speaks a lot of philosophy externally. And finally, Krishna says in this letter that, my dear gopis, I have actually left your association to increase your love. Krishna said something similar in Rasalila also. In the Rasalila, Krishna just left the gopis, and after he came back, the gopis asked Krishna, Krishna, we see three kinds of people who reciprocate with others. Number one, a selfish lover or a motivated lover who reciprocates with the other person only if he receives some service. And the second category is unmotivated lover who reciprocates with the other person and who loves the other person, all the other person is indifferent to him. And the third category is an indifferent person who does not show any love towards anyone. Which category do you belong to? Krishna says none of the above. I belong to a fourth category. The fourth category is that I keep my lovers in feelings of separation, and in that separation their love for me increases, and I relish that increase in love for me. So Krishna said that after meeting the gopis. Now Krishna is trying to say something similar, but he is not meeting the gopis, he is staying in Mathura only. In Mathura he wrote this letter and sent it through Uddhava, and that letter read that, my dear gopis, I am keeping you away from me, I am leaving you in separation from me to increase your love and affection for me. Then, because in absence of a lover, the beloved will think more about the lover. So, then all the gopis told Uddhava, Uddhava, thank you very much for reading the letter. You can fold this letter, keep it with you, and in future, Krishna will maintain relationships with other women in Mathura also, and he will abandon them also. Then you can read out this letter for them. But this letter is not relevant for us. Because the gopis of Vrindavan feel a yuga of separation within one eye blink also. Truti yugayate tvama pashyatam. In the Gopi Gita, the gopis said that even a fraction of a second seems like a great yuga for us. So, we are dying millions of times within one eye blink, and Krishna, what is the possibility for you to increase our love for you? How much more our love should increase for you? So, we will die only. You are just killing innocent women by not coming in front of us. So, the gopis did not accept this statement. Anticipating this objection of the gopis, Krishna has written the next statement in his letter. He said that, my dear gopis, I have certain things to do here. I will very soon come back to you and give my darshan to you. So, Krishna completely reassured the gopis of Vrindavan that he will soon give his personal face-to-face association to the gopis. Then the gopis are pacified. When Krishna said that, I am staying away from you to increase your love, gopis did not accept that argument. But when Krishna promised that I will very soon come back, then the gopis became little pacified, and they started waiting for that moment when Krishna comes back. Then the gopis became very happy in the association of Uddhava, and there are few more exchanges that happened, and the gopis started offering a prayer to Krishna, turning towards the direction of Mathura. They said, He Natha, He Ramanatha, Vrajanatha Artinashana, Magnam Uddhara Govinda, Gokulam Vrijinarnavat. So, Hey Natha, Hey Ramanatha, O Lord, O Ramanatha, O husband of goddess of fortune, Vrajanatha Arthinashana, O Vrajanatha, O Lord of Vrindavan, Arthinashana, you can destroy our distresses completely. Magnam Uddhara Govinda. Magnam means we are immersed in an ocean of difficulty. What is that difficulty? What is that misery? The misery of separation from Krishna. Gokulam Vrijana Aranavat. Gokulam Vrijana Aranavat. The entire Gokul, all the Vrajavasis are immersed in an ocean of misery, ocean of lamentation in separation from Krishna. Krishna, only you can deliver us from this ocean of lamentation. All the gopis offered this prayer to Govinda. Krishna, turning towards Mathura and seeing their heartfelt expressions of love, Uddhava was really amazed. And Lord's message somewhat relieved the gopis from their fever of separation from Krishna. And Uddhava remained there in the association of Vrajavasis for a couple of months, for a few months there. And all the days that Uddhava spent in Vrindavan passed like few moments only for him. And Uddhava, wherever he sees gopis or gopas, he would speak about Krishna. And all the gopis and gopas felt the presence of Krishna in Uddhava's association. And Uddhava also visited all the places in Vrindavan where Krishna performed his enchanting pastimes. And he had heard the descriptions of Krishna's pastimes from the Vrajavasis and he felt happy. So, Uddhava became thoroughly Krishna conscious in Vrindavan by hearing from the gopis and gopas and by speaking about Krishna to the gopis and gopas, and he also reminded all the gopis and gopas about Krishna. Of course, they never forget Krishna. Both Uddhava and the gopis and gopas never forget Krishna, but they together mutually increased their Krishna consciousness by constant discussion of Krishna, about Krishna. So, Krishna, Uddhava is speaking about Krishna to the gopis, and the gopis and gopas, they were speaking about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan to Uddhava, and Uddhava spent a lot of time there, and Uddhava started singing a song about the glories of gopis during his stay in Vrindavan. Uddhava understood that there are no other devotees in the entire cosmic manifestation like the gopis of Vrindavan. So, gopis are the topmost devotees of Krishna. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says that the gopis are the topmost devotees. Ramya kachidupasana vrajavadhu vargenaya kalpita. So, the greatest worship of Krishna is done by the gopis of Vrindavan. This Uddhava sings this slokas. He says, Eta param tanu bhurto bhuvi gopavadho Govinda eva nikhilatma nirudha bhavah Vanchanti yad bhaya bhiyo bhava bhiyo munayo vayamcha Kim brahma janma bhirananta katharasasya. Amongst all the persons in this earthly planet, etam param tanu bhuvo bhuvi gopavadho. So, he says that amongst all the embodied beings in this entire earthly planet, gopis are the topmost. They have attained the topmost perfection in their love for Krishna. Govinda eva nikhilatmani rudha bhavaha. Rudha bhava is intense affection and emotion towards Krishna, and the gopis have attained that. And this pure love is hankered by great sages and devotees also. So, vanchanti tad bhava bhiyo munayo vayamcha. Munis, great munis also aspire for the devotion that the gopis had for Krishna. So, munis give up everything. They are sages living in the forest. They are totally renounced. But the gopis are apparently seen to be household ladies doing so much of household work. But these simple women have sublime devotion, and their devotion is millions of times superior than even these munis also. And these munis, these sages are also aspiring for the devotion of this simple woman, the gopis of Vrindavan. And Uddhava noticed this. That's why he is glorifying them. In the 60th sloka, Uddhava further says, Nayam shriyonga unitanta rate prasadaham Svaryoshitam nalinagandharucham kutonyaham Rasotsavesya bhujadanda grihita kantha Labdhasishamsa Labdhashisham ya urugad vrajavallabhinam. He says, Nayam Shriyonga Unitantarateha Prasadaha. Even the Shri, even the goddess of fortune also did not get the fortune of associating with Krishna and dancing with Krishna in the Rasalila. In the Rasalila, Krishna gave his intimate association to all the gopis of Vrindavan. Krishna expanded himself into millions of forms to dance with each and every gopi in Vrindavan. But Lakshmi also did not get this privilege. So the position of gopis is even superior to the Lakshmis also. Krishna's consorts are of three types. One, Gopi Gana, two, Mahishi Gana, three, Lakshmi Gana. So Gopi Gana means the gopis of Vrindavan. Mahishi Gana means the queens of Dwaraka. And Lakshmi Gana means the Lakshmis are the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha. So of all these three, Gopi Gana, the gopis are the topmost. And all these three categories of consorts of Krishna are also expansions of Srimati Radharani. So, gopis are the topmost devotees of Krishna. And gopis are constantly aspiring to see Krishna's beautiful form. Like Chataka birds, there is this beautiful shloka in the Mukundamala Stotra. In the shloka, it is said that Bhakta paya bhujanga garudamani trailokya rakshamani Gopi lochana chatakam budamani saundarya mudramani yah kantamani rukmini ghanakucha dvandvaika bhushamani shreyo devasikhamani dishatunaha gopala chudamani bhakta paya bhujanga garudamani trailokya rakshamani. The Supreme Lord Krishna comes on the back of his great bird carrier, eagle carrier Garuda, and he protects all the devotees from the ocean of material existence. And the next glorification of Krishna in this shloka is Gopi lochana chatakam budamani saundarya mudramani. Gopi lochana means gopi's eyes. Chatakam budamani. Chataka means the birds, chataka birds constantly look forward for the raindrops coming from the sky. They don't even take water from holy rivers or lakes. Crystal clear transparent waters in the lakes or rivers are not appealing to the chataka birds. They only aspire for the raindrops coming directly from the clouds. Similarly, the gopis are not impressed with any other form of Krishna, whether it is Narayana form or Narasimha, Varaha, Vamana, many other incarnations and forms of Krishna are there, including Ramachandra. But the gopis are attracted only to the two-handed form of Krishna in Vrindavan. Even when the gopis see that Krishna in Kurukshetra, they are not impressed with that ambience. Oh, that is same Krishna, we are the same gopis, but this is not the same place. So Krishna in Vrindavan as a cowherd man, cowherd boy, is the topmost manifestation of the absolute truth. And the gopis, like chataka birds, are constantly aspiring for this darshan of Krishna. Gopi lochana chatakam budamani saundarya mudramani. Because Krishna is the personification of all saundarya, all beauty in the entire cosmic manifestation. And in the 61st shloka, Uddhava further glorifies the gopis and he expresses his own personal desire to get the dust from the lotus feet of the gopis. Uddhava says, Asa maho charana renu jushama hamsyam vrindavane kimapi gulmalata ushadhinam yadustyajam svajana marya patham chahitva bhejur mukunda padavim shruti bhirvim rugyam. He says, Asa maho charana renu maham jushamsyam. So I want the charana renu, I want the dust from the lotus feet of all these gopis of Vrindavan. And if Uddhava directly goes and asks for the dust of the gopis, gopis being very humble and modest and simple at heart, they will not give dust to Uddhava. Uddhava, you are a great prince, you are coming from Mathura, you are a city man, you are village girls, how can we give dust to you? They will not agree. So Uddhava has made a plan. He said that I will become a creeper or a bush or a blade of grass in Vrindavan. Vrindavane kimapi gulmalata ushadhinam. Kimapi gulmalata ushadhinam. So So I will become a Gulma Lata, I will become a creeper in Vrindavan. Then the gopis would come and they may sometimes stamp on me. Then in that way I can receive their dust. Then Yadustyajam Swajana Marya Patham Chahitva. So these gopis of Vrindavan, they have given up, which is very difficult to give up. Dustyajam. Tyaja means giving up. Dustyaja means that which is very difficult to give up. What is that? Swajanam. For a woman in the Vedic culture, Vedic civilization, giving up swajanam means relatives or one's own family members and elders is very difficult in the Vedic culture. Swajanam, Aryapatham, the civilized path of chastity and loyalty towards one's own husband or one's own family members. That they have given up. They have given up all the social customs. They have crossed all these barriers. They have come to Krishna, come to serve Krishna. And when Krishna was leaving Vrindavan, all the gopis came out of their houses and they came on the road. They have given up their shy, their womanly shy. They have given up all the Vedic systems and social customs and came on the road. They started blocking the road, saying that if you want to go Krishna, just take your chariot on our dead bodies. And some gopis caught the horses of Akrura's chariot, and some gopis caught the wheels of the chariot. Some gopis caught the driver and then threw him down and then started beating the driver. And some gopis caught Balaramji. Some gopis caught Krishna begging, weeping so piteously, Krishna, please don't go away from Vrindavan. So for a cultured woman to come out of the house and ask another boy to stay back and expressing love and affection towards that boy is not a small thing in the Vedic society. So, Yadustyajam Swajanam Aryapatham Chahitva Bhejur Mukunda Padavim Surti Bhirvimurgyam. So, Bhejur Mukunda Padavim, they have actually attained the purest love of Krishna. They attained the topmost perfection of Krishna consciousness, and even Shrutis, the scriptures personified, also aspire to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. That's the glory of the gopis. And later, Uddhava stayed for a few months, glorified the gopis in this way, and Uddhava started to go back to Mathura. So at that time, Nanda Maharaj came to give farewell to Uddhava, and he spoke like this in the 66th shloka. Manaso vrittayo nasyu Krishna padambujashrayah vacho abhidhaye nirnamnam kayastat prahvanadishu manaso vrittayo nasyu Krishna padambujashrayah. So Uddhava, this is our aspiration of all the Vrajavasis. That is, in our minds, our body and words, let us always take shelter of Krishna's divine lotus feet. And let us utilize our body, mind and words completely in the service of Krishna. Vacho abhidhayinir namna kayastat prahavanadishu. Kaya means body. Let us engage in serving Krishna and in washing his feet and serving in various ways. So even the great Vrajavasis and even the elders of Krishna like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata or Vasudev Devaki, they also consider themselves as servants of Krishna. In the mood of parents. So they have the mood of parents, but as parents, from the position of being parents, they want to serve Krishna. So this emotion of being a servant of Krishna is there in all kinds of devotees, whether they belong to Sakhya Rasa or Dasya Rasa or Vatsalya Rasa, or Madhurya Rasa. They always consider themselves as servants of Krishna. This emotion of being a servant of Krishna is very elaborately explained in the Adilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, 6th chapter, when Kaviraj Goswami describes Advaita Tattva. So, all the devotees of Krishna consider Krishna as their master and they serve Krishna, although they play the roles of the superiors of Krishna. So, Mother Yashoda is a parent of Krishna, but she wants to serve Krishna like a parent. So, service to Krishna is the greatest thing. So, as sadhakas also, we have to engage all our senses in service of Krishna. Another shloka in Mukundamala Stotra says that Yat Krishna Pranipata Dhuli Dhavalam Tadvarshma Tadvai Shira ते नेत्रे तमसो झिते सुरुचिरे याभ्याम हरिर्दृश्यते सा बुद्धिर्विमलेन्दुशङ्खधवला या माधवध्यायिनी सा जिह्वामृतवर्षिणी प्रतिपदं या स्तौति नारायणं यत्कृष्णप्रणिपातधूलिधवलं तद्वर्ष्म तद्वै शिरः मीन्स् दट् हेड् विच् कान्स्टेण्ट्लि बोस् डौन् इन् फ्रण्ट् आफ् द लोटस् फीट् आफ् कृष्ण एण्ड् दट् हेड् दट् बिकम्स् वैटिश् with the dust from the lotus feet of Krishna is the best head. Tadvarshma tadvai shiraha. Te netre tamaso jhite suruchire yabhyam harir drishyate. Those eyes that constantly relish the darshan of Krishna are the best eyes in this entire cosmic manifestation. Sa buddhir vimalindu shankha dhavala yamadhavadhyayini means that buddhi, that intelligence that is constantly absorbed in meditation on the qualities of Krishna is the best intelligence. Ya Madhava Dhyayini means that intelligence that does meditation on Madhava, on Krishna, that is the best intelligence. Sajihvamrita Varshini Pratipadam Yastauti Narayanam Sajihva Amrita Varshini Pratipadam. That tongue that is constantly raining the shower of the nectar of descriptions of Krishna's qualities is the best possible tongue. We should always try to utilize our tongue in glorifying Krishna, in discussing about Krishna, Krishna's qualities, nama, rupa, guna, leela, or service related to Krishna. Then that tongue is constantly showering nectar. So this is how Mukundamala also glorifies that we have to utilize all our senses in Krishna's service. We have to utilize all the propensities of our senses in serving Krishna. And even Vrajavasis are also having the same aspiration. So having stayed in Vrindavan for several months, Uddhava came back to Mathura and met Krishna. We completed 47th chapter, we will enter 48th chapter. So in this 48th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes that Uddhava came back to Mathura and Krishna sat with Uddhava for several days together. And he has heard everything that happened in Vrindavan. So Uddhava spoke everything in detail to Krishna. And Krishna became very happy. And he was also overwhelmed with feelings of separation from Vrajavasis. And after that Krishna just proceeded with his other responsibilities. So Krishna, when he came to Mathura, he was invited by Akrura so lovingly. And he was also invited by Kubja. And Krishna postponed their invitation. Krishna said, I will kill Kamsa and I will have to fulfill certain responsibilities. Then only I will come to you. Then now Krishna remembered that promise. And Krishna, along with Uddhava and also Balaram, Krishna took Uddhava and went to Kubja's house first. So Kubja was very eager. Kubja is that Trivikra, that hunchback lady, who was transformed into a very beautiful woman by Krishna's blessings. So Kubja was waiting for Krishna to come to her house, and Krishna went along with Uddhava to Kubja's house. And Kubja received Krishna and Uddhava with great respect and offered seats to both of them. But Krishna sat there, but Uddhava did not sit. Uddhava sat down. Uddhava did not accept the seat because Uddhava understands that Krishna is my master, and Krishna came here to associate with Kubja and fulfill her desires. So he is my master. I'm not supposed to be sitting next to him. He sat down. And Kubja served Krishna in various ways, and Krishna enjoyed with Kubja. And then Krishna and Uddhava went back from Kubja's house. Krishna and Uddhava. Then after that, Krishna and Uddhava along with Balaram went to Akrura's house, and Akrura was so happy to receive Krishna and Balaram at his house, and Akrura offered all hospitality and offered heartfelt prayers to Krishna. Akrura said, "Oh Krishna, good that you have killed Kamsa, and you are the original person. Nothing in this entire world exists without you, Krishna. You created the universe with your energies, and you are the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. And you are the origin of all the material modes. In this way, in a mood of reverence, Akrura offered several prayers to Krishna, speaking about Krishna's glories and Krishna's position as the creator, maintainer and the lord of everything that exists. And he said that you are never covered by modes, my dear lord. You are always liberated. Although you take the form of a human being and do your pastimes in this material world, still you are unaffected by the material modes. You are the supreme, same person, and the supreme lord who appeared in the form of a human being to annihilate all the miscreants and the demoniac kings in this planet. Today my home has become so fortunate because I received you at my home. So what learned person would approach anyone other than you for shelter, my dear lord? Only you are the person who can give shelter. So he is the topmost shelter, as it is mentioned in Dhruva's episode and Gajendra's prayers and several places in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is the topmost personality who is worthy of giving shelter to anyone. So no one else can give shelter like Krishna does. So Krishna has the full capacity and the best intention and awareness of all our problems, and he can give the best shelter. He is Sharanya. He is Sharanya Vatsala. So in this way, Akrura glorified Krishna in various ways and offered prayers, and Krishna started glorifying Akrura. Krishna said, my dear Akrura, you are a saintly person and people like you are really pure at heart, and you are like holy places personified. And Krishna spoke to Akrura, Bhavadvidha Mahabhaga Nishevya Artha Sattamaha Shreyaskamair Bhir Nityam Devaha Swarthana Sadhavaha. So he said that people like you are holier than holy places and holy rivers. Bhavadvidha Mahabhaga. So no one can deny that there are holy places with sacred rivers, but saintly people like you are holier than holy rivers, and the association of saintly people like you is more purifying than the holy rivers. In holy rivers, if we take bath, we will be purified of our sins. But if we associate with a saintly person, we will be more purified. Our consciousness will be purified. So in this way, Krishna glorified Akrura and instructed Akrura at the end. He said, my dear Akrura, I am concerned about the Pandavas. So now Krishna diverted his attention towards the Pandavas. He said, my dear Akrura, in Hastinapur, Pandavas are staying with Kunti Devi, their mother. But Dhritarashtra, who is the uncle of Pandavas, is supporting Duryodhan, his wicked son, and he is supporting all the wicked plans made by Duryodhan, Dushyasan, Karna and Shakuni, and he was not treating his nephews, the Pandavas, properly. So Pandavas are constantly under death threat, and Kunti Maharani, a widowed woman who lost her husband, Pandu Maharaj, so she is trying to protect her five children like this. So can you please go and inquire about the welfare of the Pandavas at Hastinapur and meet Dhritarashtra, Kunti, Pandavas and others at Hastinapur. So Krishna gave this service to Akrura. Then Akrura went to Hastinapur. So that is described in the 49th chapter. So Akrura went to Hastinapur, and in Hastinapur, all the relatives received Akrura with great love and affection, because Akrura is such a saintly person, a non-controversial person. Everybody loves him and respects him. So Akrura was received very well at Hastinapur, and Kunti Maharani specially met Akrura and along with Vidura. So Vidura is a very noble person, but Dhritarashtra, although he is very intelligent, but still he is already blind physically. He is also blinded by his affection for his sons, hundred sons headed by Duryodhan. Duryodhan is very wicked. He always wanted to inherit the property of Hastinapur, and he wanted to sit on the throne. But Yudhishthir Maharaj, who was the son of Pandu Maharaj, so he was competitor to Duryodhan. So Duryodhan is constantly having envious feelings towards Yudhishthir, and he wanted to eliminate Yudhishthir and all the Pandavas from his way, and he wanted to occupy the throne of Hastinapur. And Dhritarashtra has been constantly supporting the plans of Duryodhan instead of disgracing his plans. So Kunti Maharani spoke to Akrura and she said, "Oh gentleman, so do my parents and brothers and sisters and nephews remember me?" Because Kunti Maharani is coming from the Vrishni dynasty. And now she is staying in Hastinapur. She came to her husband's house in Hastinapur and she started staying there. But she is originally from Vrishni dynasty. And Akrura, when he is coming from Mathura, Kunti Maharani asked Akrura, "How are our relatives? Are they doing well? Do they remember me? How is my nephew Krishna? So he is the compassionate shelter of all his devotees. Does he still remember his aunt Kunti? Does he remember his aunt's sons Pandavas? So now I am suffering like a doe in the midst of so many wolves." So wolf would attack a doe. So similarly, Kunti Maharani, a widowed woman, so she is staying in the midst of all these people like Duryodhan, Dushasan, Karna, Shakuni, who are supported by Dhritarashtra, who are constantly scheming against Kunti and wanted to eliminate Pandavas. So she underwent a lot of suffering. She became a widow at a very young age with 5 small children. So now she is in intense suffering and she is dependent on Krishna. She is a great devotee of Krishna. We have seen in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam how Kunti Maharani offered her heartfelt prayers to Krishna. So then now also she offered prayers to Krishna. "Oh Krishna, please protect me. So myself and my sons are completely dependent on you. We are overwhelmed by trouble. Only if you show mercy, anyone can be delivered from this ocean of samsara." So in this way, Kunti Maharani offered prayers and Akrura pacified Kunti. "Krishna remembers you, my dear Kunti. Krishna remembers all the Pandavas. That's why he had sent me to inquire about your welfare." So then Akrura went to Dhritarashtra and he wanted to counsel him. "My dear Dhritarashtra, a king is supposed to treat all his citizens equally. So citizens are called Praja. So Praja includes not only human beings, Praja includes even animals also. So a king is supposed to protect all his citizens equally, including humans and non-humans also. But Dhritarashtra is such a king that he is unable to even treat his own sons and his brother's sons equally, his nephews equally. So he has favoritism towards Duryodhan and his brothers, but he was not showing any favor towards Pandavas. And Akrura knows this and Akrura requested Yudhishthira, Dhritarashtra, "So please treat your nephews also properly." But Dhritarashtra spoke as if he already knew what Akrura was trying to tell him. Internally, he thought like that, "I already know what you are saying." But externally, he said, "My dear Akrura, your words are so great. Your words are as brilliant as lightning in the sky. But how long does lightning stay in the sky? Just for a second, for a fraction of a second. Similarly, your good advice, which is like lightning, cannot stay in my cloud-like heart for a long time. I appreciate what you are trying to say, but I have become a puppet in the hands of my son because of my affection towards my son. So due to undue affection towards his son Duryodhan, Dhritarashtra, although he knows that what he was doing is wrong, still he continued to do it." So Dhritarashtra said that the events are set into motion by the destiny, by fate. So just things are going in a certain way, I cannot change it. So Dhritarashtra is actually not taking responsibility for his actions. He was not taking responsibility to rectify the mentality of his son Duryodhan. He is saying it is all destiny and fate. Destiny or fate is not what we do. That is the result of what we do. So Dhritarashtra cannot behave irresponsibly and say that his irresponsibility is the destiny. So he, by being irresponsible, he will create a bad fate for his sons. Instead of rectifying the mentality of Duryodhan, he is allowing Duryodhan to do whatever he wants and he is supporting Duryodhan and he is saying that is all fate. So nevertheless, Dhritarashtra is also a very exalted personality. And without being such an exalted personality, he would not offer prayer to Krishna. He offered prayer to Krishna. Now he said that that Supreme Lord Krishna has descended as a human being in this earthly planet to annihilate all the miscreants. He said this. And it also means that Duryodhan and his brothers are miscreants. So Krishna would make sure that Duryodhan and his brothers also would be wiped out of this earthly planet. Towards the end of his manifest pastimes in the Kurukshetra war. And Dhritarashtra indicated this in his words and prayers, but he could not take any action. So we need to learn this, learn what not to do from Dhritarashtra. When things are there in our hands, when things are rectifiable by our responsible actions, we are supposed to do the needful. But Dhritarashtra denied any responsibility. He is in the position of a king and he can rectify his sons, but he did not do that. So he supported them. So when Duryodhan is blackmailing, then Dhritarashtra says, okay, fine, you do it, do it the way you want. So he supported him. So now Akrura tried to console and tried to give good counseling to Dhritarashtra, but Akrura failed to do so. But nevertheless, Akrura came back to Mathura and reported to Krishna. This is what has happened in Hastinapur. But Akrura is considered very successful in his mission because he went there and pacified Pandavas and pacified Kunti Maharani, and then he came back. He executed the service done by Krishna. So that completes this 49th chapter. So tomorrow we will begin the 50th chapter. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.